Did you know that in March 1986, five brothers of a Guillemont family in a small village located in Brittany in France founded the video game publisher Ubisoft? You're listening to the Xbox Hub podcast, the official podcast of the xboxhub.com. For the latest Xbox news, reviews, videos and opinions, make sure you visit the xboxhub.com. But for now, settle down, get comfy, and open your ears for some podcast delights. Hello, and welcome to the Xbox Hub official podcast, episode number 39. My name is Gareth Briley. I'm going to be your host. And on my virtual left is Mr. James Burks. How you doing, James?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. It is morning. We're doing this on a morning, and we're doing this on a Monday. So it'll be probably out today or tomorrow, maybe. But we'll talk about why we're doing it today for a reason. And on my virtual right is Mr. William. Now, William, how do I say your surname? I've been practicing all day, and I've got it wrong. Say it for us.
Caruana.
Caruana. Yes.
Yep.
Mr. William Caruana. How are you doing, William? All the way from Canada.
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. It's a very early morning, but, you know, there's a lot to talk about, so
what time? Happy. What time is it there in Toronto?
It is 5:30 here, so
5:30.
Very early morning.
Now, William, you're on message, really, because you're from Toronto, and we are here because of Ubisoft's big reveal, a conference, a showcase.
Ubisoft Forward.
Yeah, who are based in Toronto. So it's very apt that we got you on.
Yeah.
Some would say
planned. I'm very happy to see.
Yeah. Are they going mad in Toronto from the announcements before we go into it? Is the streets full of people protesting or in celebration?
Not necessarily yet, but, you know, it was yesterday afternoon. It was a Sunday. Given time.
So what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to just go through the three big reveals, and then we're going to go through the other kind of bits and bobs, and then we're going to talk about some of the stuff that we saw in the pre-show as well, and for an hour or so, and we'll just have a chat. It was all right, wasn't it? It was, you know, there was nothing huge surprise there, was there, from anything?
I think we got what we expected and nothing more, really.
I mean, it was, before we go into it, there's a shame because their big sort of end show surprise is something that got leaked 3 days ago.
Yeah. I tried to pretend to be shocked when it turned up, and I was like, well.
And then was that big of a surprise? I mean, we all knew that Far Cry was coming. It was more a matter of when than if.
Yeah, but, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go for the big one first of all, which is Watch Dogs Legion, which is the first thing they open with in the big show. And we chatted last week in the podcast about Watch Dogs, and we were both saying, do you think we could, I think me and James were saying, do you think we're going to see Watch Dogs again? Is it going to happen? And lo and behold, they did. Sorry, William, what are you going to say? Oh, William, are you still there? Have I got you still there?
Sorry. I said there it was.
There it was, I know. And we started off and they showed us this kind of like an animation short from a brilliant kind of filmmaker who made this kind of a little kind of, what is it, a 2-minute clip using some kind of great dialogue from one of the German poetry authors about, and they showed the kind of universe of a taxi driver, but it wasn't any gameplay, it was actually just made. And first of all, I was thinking, oh my word, is this all we're going to see? Is this a way of us just putting off the game and we haven't got a release date? And then they went deep into the game and showed us gameplay and talked us through some missions. What do we think of that animation short, first of all?
It's great.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
I was impressed by the visuals. It was psychedelic, is that the word? It was... Yeah, it was quite powerful as well. Quite on point with the message it was going for, given the current climate with protests and...
Yeah, and I think that thing that it influences by a German, I think, author called Martin Niemöller. Niemöller? Uh-huh. And I think it's about when they go first, they
they burned the books, and I did nothing. And it goes, and that's how that was the influence of that bit of dialogue.
Yeah. It was powerful.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
It was cool. I mean, it's quite funny when he turned and put the pub at the end, and there's a guy there with a pig mask on.
Yeah.
I'd be a bit freaked out if I was in there. Not your average pub.
William, what do you think? Do you like that little short?
Honestly, I absolutely love the animation. I thought it looked amazing. It was a guy who did a show on Netflix called Love, Death, and Robots, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he also worked on Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, helping out with the animation style there. And yeah, no, I thought it looked absolutely great.
Yeah.
I think the use of the poem was powerful, but also a bit at odds with what they showed after, you know, because it's a very serious, very deep one. And then it's, you know, also a game with people in pig masks and an old granny tasing the tasing a police officer and stealing his baton. But on the whole, I thought it was great short.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Mo. I'm in a really weird, I think for that exactly, I had that same problem. I'm in a really weird space. I've just finished The Last of Us Part 2, which I've battled on again the last couple of podcasts. And at the end of that game, you feel very shell-shocked about killing and death. And any game I'm playing now that shows people just getting killed willy-nilly is quite hard. I'm trying to acclimatise back into the sort of like the game world of just people sort of like funnily dying by drones and stuff. So it becomes quite hard. It was good. And also that Netflix series you said, William, is it called Love, Death and Robots?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, watch them all. They're brilliant. They're really, really amazing. So I'm doing a second series of that. And then we saw, didn't we? We went straight into a kind of like a chat by the developer, and then we got shown some gameplay in the world. And then we saw a couple of missions, and the first one was a sort of Tower of London. And we showed three different characters. So the idea of Watch Dogs still is that you can inhabit many different characters around the world, can't you? So you could choose who you want to be. And we saw those Tower of London, we saw three different ways of tackling it. The first was a kind of like a construction worker just hacking objects that run over people and beating people with a nail gun.
Yeah, that was a little bit far-fetched for me.
Yeah,
they've got guns, I've got a nail gun. Who's going to win?
Yeah. And then we had a kind of, was it like someone who could control the drones?
Drone expert.
A sort of more hacking type.
Stealth tech agent,
Which is quite good, which is stuff we've seen in Watch Dogs before, isn't it? Which is, I think...
Yeah, that was very much on brand, that's the word. Yeah, especially with the spider-shaped drone. That was quite cool. I would attack the enemy.
And you can ride these drones, can't you, as well? So you can, I think the construction worker had a special one he could ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a magic carpet.
Yeah. And then the last one we saw, first of all, it's about, we saw the sort of big bosses, and everything's gone to shit, nice a word, in London, explosions by terrorists, and this group of hired mercenaries called Albion, who are sort of hired by the government, come in and they're controlling everything. They're the police force, so your Thoroughton kind of like army that are in control by a character called William Cass, who's a bad
Nigel.
Nigel. Sorry, Nigel.
It's Cass. Always Nigel. It's always. If it's a British bad guy, it's always Nigel. Never trust him.
Never trust the Nigel. And then the last playthrough of that thing was you play an Albion officer who has been turned to the resistance, and you see him just walking through. And almost like a stealth mission, isn't it?
Yeah, social stealth sort of thing. Or a hitman, I think someone referred to it. Easy Allies, I think. They called it like Hitman, and that seemed right on the money there.
Yeah. And then we saw another mission, didn't we? Did we see another mission or part of another mission? It was like we were suddenly in a pub. with us all.
Yeah, with Mickey.
With Mickey, a cockney white boy, who just was beating everyone up and then passed out from drinking. And I can't remember what was next, wasn't it? What was next? Was that another mission we saw?
I think it was just a bit more of what the characters can do.
Okay.
Like a character showcase.
So. Right.
Because Mickey was just outside, battling people. And doing this down the headbutt.
Yeah, exactly. Just passed out. What do we think? What do we think? By the first of all, let's talk about the kind of missions and what's our first impression of that? William?
Honestly, I think it looks great. You know, I'm not just saying that because I hope to work at Ubisoft Toronto one day. No. Like, people have talked a lot about the Ubisoft formula, so to speak, the big open worlds and everything, and the original Watch Dogs, which I played, it was pretty good. But, you know, the level of variety that they seem to be showing here in terms of approach, in terms of characters and everything, it looks right up my alley.
Mm.
It just looks like a ton of fun, you know? And I think that flexibility of being able to play stealthy, to try and blend in, to try and just go in guns blazing and hope everything works. You know, I think that has a lot of interesting potential. So, yeah.
And they're still onto this fact, and there's a few people who have played the previews just read this morning who have said, yeah, that you can swap to any character is still the big selling point. You can be anyone. And then we showed a little glimpse of it, didn't we, of someone, a little cutscene when it's two characters and how they react differently to in the same scene, isn't it? With an NPC.
They show. Permadeath is gone too now, I believe. I know. I think they're now arrested, and then you can play with them after a cooldown of a couple of missions.
That's right. But you can switch you can switch permadeath on if you want to. So you've got that option of having permadeath that they can do, or like you said, the main way of playing it is they have a cool down. They go into hospital for a while,
fair enough,
and then come out. I kind of like the permadeath thing. Something about it that I like. So it's good that he's still got that there.
That adds a bit of risk.
Yeah,
gives you a bit more intensity to what's going on. And
I'm a hardcore Fire Emblem fan, and I wasn't too happy at first when they got rid of the permadeath. I mean, I get why they did it, but for me, permanent death really forces you to play carefully, you know? And so in a stealth mission, for example, there's a lot less margin for error, so you take things a lot more carefully and, you know, you can get better.
Yeah.
So that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always liked it as a mechanic.
And what I think going on from what we said, Watch Dogs 2, I love that game. I really liked the first one, but I loved Watch Dogs 2. I spent hours on that. I love being in San Francisco and seeing that world, but I just love the characters and that kind of missions. But again, that be able to use, you know, to be able to hack into things, to use objects to help you through it. And it does feel like every mission was. You could really approach it in completely different ways. And I'm really excited that seems to be there, but then you have the added bonus of having many different characters as well. It's quite exciting.
With different skills and techniques.
Yeah. We saw a hitman, didn't we? An actual professional hitman.
Yes. Well.
We did.
Yeah. And of course, we've got the old ladies are back as well.
Kicking the shins.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, of course, another big exciting thing for me is it's in my town. It's in my where I live, and it's very with the Tower of London. I live across the river on the other side. That's where I live. So hopefully, I might be able to go home in the game.
You're quite funny.
Yeah,
it's actually base.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's just my house. I've always wanted to have my house in the game. But it is exciting to be for me. It's really exciting to see kind of Tower of London, see Westminster, to see Camden, which seems to be a big part. And be driving around that drama cities I haven't done since The Getaway.
Wow. It's a blast from the past.
Oh, yeah. You excited about London, you two?
I'm getting a bit more excited. I've got to be honest, I was going into it expecting to go, Watch Dogs again. But the character variety really has gotten me a little bit more excited. And like you say, the fact it's London. I've never been there, but I've seen it on telly.
Yeah.
So I know what it looks like. It would be quite cool to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it now.
What you would?
I love the fact that it's in London. You know, I went to London 5 years ago now, just under 5 years, and it's a lovely city. And yeah, I'm more than happy to go back there. That being said, you know, this game is developed in Toronto, so if we screw it up, we're sorry. but you know, the level designer, I believe, she was saying that there were people from London in the audience, and they got a chance to play the game, and they were like, you nailed this. So I certainly hope that's the case.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times it's just London is just New York in these games, but with older buildings, effectively.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they always give it the time and attention it deserves, and they seem to be doing that this time. So, fingers crossed.
And also, what's nice about it is for them as developers, they've set it into the future. So it's a future version of London. So, and that's quite good for them because they can just change stuff and they can add stuff. It's like we saw the buses; they had the red buses, and they look different inside. A real glimpse of that. You know, it's going to be very interesting with driving around the city because most of the cars are self-drive cars that you can hack and get into and use rather than, you know, normal getting in there, hitting someone over the head and then nicking the car.
Like you would normally do in London.
Yeah, like we normally do in London. That's how I get about. That's how I go to do my shopping. yeah, really exciting. I do get worried, and this is just me, that at times it does feel a bit like, cool, blimey, Mary Poppins. And and it does feel like a bit like a Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, a Guy Ritchie film at times.
I was about to say, yeah, I got a lot of Guy Ritchie and Matthew Vaughn vibes from this. Which are mostly good.
But yeah, which is good. Which is, I think it's great for that kind of world appeal as well. But it can get...
I think it's just how everyone sees us. The Brits,
yeah,
rather than how it really is.
Yeah,
it's a bit more. It's Britishness turned up to 11.
Yes, exactly. I mean. That's a really good way of putting it, James. That's great. Yeah, exactly. Which isn't a bad thing at all.
No, it could be fun.
So then the next big, you two, just if I'm just moving too fast or I've missed something, you can tell me. The next big thing is we got a date, and it's October the 29th this year. Mm-hmm. Are we surprised? Were we shocked by it? I mean, we chatted about it last week, but are we... William, what do you think? Did you expect it to come out this year?
I was expecting it this year. October 29th is a surprise. I think because it's supporting smart delivery and they're doing a free upgrade for PS5 as well, that might not necessarily mean that the new consoles are out by then. But, you know, so it's earlier than I was expecting. I was expecting more... when Assassin's Creed ended up being dated, and that one took October, but no, I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, we talked about it last week, didn't we, James? We said about... I made a prediction that it might be September after this kind of leak. But I think I wouldn't have been surprised if it would have gone into the following year.
Yeah, to the March.
Yeah.
Where it was supposed to come out this year, in March, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not got much competition, really, has it?
Well, you know, there's a lot of big games coming out, isn't there? I mean, I was thinking it's long games as well, isn't it? It's not... You know, it's not... We've got, at the moment, Assassin's Cyberpunk Avengers, you know, in September. And this, they're big, huge games, aren't they?
And Halo.
Say that again, William.
And Halo and Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Five. So, yeah, it's pretty big.
And that's the stuff we know. We're going to learn a lot more next week. And PlayStation as well. Yeah, it's... I mean, it's great. It's not a dry season, as they say. It's going to be lots going on.
It must be a tactical decision, though, to release it then. Because given that it's supposed to be ready in March... it's probably already ready. So they could have released it earlier in September. But it's a bit quieter. There must be some reason in their minds where there's a little gap. And going, you know what? This is a good idea. Or it's when the consoles come out.
Well, this leads us on to the next bit, which is we are right to move on a little bit to the next bit. Yeah. It's then we had Phil Spencer then came on, a very sort of tired, half eyes closed looking Phil Spencer. Did you think?
Well, he's probably pulling all night who's getting ready for the 23rd.
He looked a bit drugged at some point. I think, is he alright? I was really worried for him. His eyes are really half closed. So it's like he was being held hostage somewhere.
It did look a little bit worrying.
It did, didn't it? Now, in the podcast, this is exciting. I've got to open the door because my dog's trying to get out. So this is what I'm doing at the same time. It's exciting on the move action here. He came on and he basically did a little introduction and said, Watch Dogs Legion is going to be smart delivery. So it's a free upgrade to the new generation of consoles. And it will be using it to its fully with ray tracing, our favourite.
Ray tracing always gets a name drop.
Yeah. And then Phil sort of introduced, he introduced Assassin's Creed, Valhalla. And then we saw Valhalla. Now, before we go into Assassin's Creed Valhalla, it was very interesting this time because we know that the date is 29th. We know now that we're going to say already Assassin's Creed's got a date of November the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what do we think, just quickly? Is Assassin's Creed a launch title for the Xbox Series X? Or is it coming before in October? So this will be on...
I think if it's coming before Assassin's Creed came out, I think Assassin's Creed would have come out in October. If you know what I mean, I think they've pushed it November 17th to be a launch title.
Hmm.
And it's a big game. Yeah.
What do you say, Williams?
I think it's a launch title. They've spent a ton of money on the marketing rights to it. Mm-hmm. It was their big ace up their sleeve in the May event, which didn't really work out there. But, you know, I think it's a launch title. That said, from what I've been hearing, I guess slightly off topic, we might be finding out the PS5 price and date today.
Today, yeah. I heard this rumor, yeah.
So if that's the case, we'll probably know if it's a launch title by the end of the week, knowing Microsoft. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I think it's probably a launch title. That's my guess. Yeah.
So Assassin's Creed, probably a launch title. So my question to both of you now, I know I've asked this many times, so if you've got Watch Dogs coming out on the 29th, do you play it on the Xbox One? And assuming that you're going to get the new console, do you wait and then wait to play it on Xbox Series X?
Wait.
You wait.
You'd wait and play it in its best form. It was only a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Just wait.
What about you, William?
I've got a laptop with ray tracing and everything. I picked it up not that long ago.
Right.
So I might play it on there if it's a Play Anywhere title, but I don't think it is. So I think I'm going to wait for Xbox, and I would anyways, because oftentimes these Ubisoft releases, they'll come out in October, November at $80 here, and then Black Friday will come and they're $40. So okay. I think I've just learned at this point, just wait for Black Friday, it'll be hot, half off, and pick them up then.
Right.
So I can wait the few weeks, play it better, and save $40.
So you'd wait to the Xbox Series X version of Watch Dogs?
Yeah, wait till the Xbox Series X version of Watch Dogs and wait till Black Friday for the same.
Okay, good.
And it'll probably get a patch. So if there's any bugs, it'll be out of the system by
true.
Series X, hopefully.
Okay, let's go into Assassins. So after the... It's not a furore, it's almost like a sort of like a slight murmur. After the last time they showed no gameplay, even though they promised they were showing gameplay, we saw a lot.
There was probably a little bit of gameplay. One image of gameplay.
Yes. We saw a lot of gameplay this time.
Like technicality.
Yeah. We saw a lot, didn't we? We saw a lot. We saw a big chunk.
Mm-hmm.
What do we like, William?
Honestly, I just got back into Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and I love the setting there, and I really like the setting here as well. You know, I think the fact that they aren't just doing Norse mythology, but they're also doing English pagan myths, they said.
Mm.
Like, that's a really cool idea.
Mm.
And, well, the character models look a bit off. The environment looks amazing. And as well, the character models looked off when they first showed off Odyssey and Origins, and that was fixed in the final release, so I'm sure they'll look fine here.
Mm.
Like, and I like the fact that they seem to be merging the two styles. You know, they started off as very linear stealth games, sort of like Prince of Persia, and then they've sort of become Witcher 3 or Elder Scrolls style RPGs. And now I think we've seen a lot more of the parkour and stealth, while keeping the combat abilities and the role-playing elements that people liked. So I think this could be quite good.
Yeah. James, because you haven't had a... Before we talk through what we saw, James, you haven't played an Assassin since Unity, probably? Is that fair enough to say?
I think you're correct.
Yeah. Would this grab you back in? Would this interest you?
It will. And it won't do anything to help my cause here by saying this. But I just want to go into towns and burn them down.
Yeah.
That was the highlight for me, was shooting arrows at the buildings and watching them burn.
Oh my god.
That really made my eyes widen.
So we saw, so for people who haven't seen it, I'm sure, have a look at it, because it does look like you. We had this thing called, is it fair enough to call it Raids? Is that right?
Yeah.
So it did look impressive. So you arrive in the clip that we saw, you arrive in their boats to this sort of small little town. Anyway, it's almost like in this open world, you can go to these anything you see. And then you go there, and we saw these kind of, the Vikings kind of run in and start killing, and then the main character is shooting fire arrows at the roof to set everything alight.
Just to burn everything to the ground.
Yeah, that's available.
Okay.
I
like you can stuff anywhere and go, this town looks good for pillaging. Off we go. And I like it.
And then
you build up your own settlement.
Yes, the settlement stuff is interesting, isn't it? A bit of a management sim there, which they've done before in Assassins. But I like the look of that. Do you like it, you two?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Also, we saw from it, you know, you can be male and female again. I think they're called the same name, aren't they?
Ivor, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we saw some of the world of England, you know, and Norway. Just looks absolutely stunning, obviously,
it does.
It just looks
ridiculous. A new bar. Environmental design, they've done very, very, very good.
Yeah,
this,
and it's going to look great on that new gun. It's just going to look amazing. I think it will look great on the Xbox Xbox One, but it's going to look outstanding. And then we had the sort of bit of the combat stuff, which was dual wielding, wasn't it?
Yeah,
which we were just choosing different weapons.
Change.
Yeah, you can use any two weapons, can't you?
And you build those up with loot, yeah. And you can obviously gain like you can. It has that RPG element, which is the most recent two have.
Yeah.
Which I really liked. I really liked that with both those Assassin's games. And then we saw some of the combat, didn't we? And that looked great. Is it me?
I just thought
really good. And they were sort of like tackling the front that you really got to work out your kind of enemies. It's not just a case of hitting buttons. Each one has different ways of attacking, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looked very dynamic. It looked like almost a better version of the Witcher 3 system, or with some Souls-like influences in there. You know, I was quite impressed with that.
Yeah. And brutal as well. Someone's head came off, didn't they, from one move?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, really impressed by that. And then we had some sort of old school. I've written down here, old school assassins. And when I say old school, I'm talking about number 1 and 2. I can remember, which was the blending in, which I haven't seen for a while.
I hate that.
I think they call it social stealth. Yeah, I miss that. Yeah,
I did that in the first Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
I attempted to do that. I could not do it, so I just gave up.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did you do it?
It was a pain in the backside. I have no idea. It was a bug in the game at the time. I could never blend in. So yeah, I'll feel way better this time.
I think it would, yeah. I mean, the things I like the blending in. I like the fact that they're sitting at tables, and I really like that kind of stuff with it. It really goes with that Assassin's, you know, vibe completely. So it's nice that that's come back. What I used to hate was, and I've played all of the games, and especially around about three, Assassin's Creed 3 and those kind of spin-offs, it was the follow someone from afar. I hate those.
Yeah.
Follow someone on like rooftops. You got to keep them in your eye range so they don't.
Without getting spotted.
Oh god, so many of those in the three and the other one.
Oh god, you're bringing back PTSD flashbacks from three right there.
But that should be really interesting. And then we had this. Then again, we had hunting, of course, and all that stuff, which is hard for me being a vegan, and which I never do. I try to avoid it as much as possible.
It's okay, Gareth. It's a game.
Yeah, I know. Still can't do it. But I love that. But then we saw these huge creatures, didn't we? Like these, they were fighting a huge wolf, wasn't it? It looked like a...
That was massive, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like a kind of super, almost a supernatural kind of monster, which we had in The Last Assassins. You kind of could go off and hunt these huge animals, like legend animals, they were called, I think, like. And then it showed the sort of like the massive assaults on... like fortified almost castles or settlements, is that right?
Oh, you ran the doors down.
Yeah. You saw massive wars, weren't they? Massive kind of everyone there, which would be really exciting as well.
That looked awesome. Like it, I don't know if you saw this movie on Netflix. I saw that TIFF when it opened the festival here, the film festival, Outlaw King about Robert the Bruce. They have these sort of big scale siege moments, and honestly, it looked just like that movie there.
Yeah.
But in real time, I was very impressed by those. Yeah.
In The Last Assassins, they had these, in the Greek one, they had the Odyssey, they had the these kind of large war sections. Like you had battle sections. Every now and again, you'll go to kind of like take over an area. And they were good, but this looks like it stepped up a whole other gear, which I really like. And then we had a little hint of Norse, the myth that, like you said before, you're finding these secret areas, exploration, seeing these kind of almost puzzles and sort of Stone Age kind of monuments, and then the Norse myth. It looks like they were fighting some kind of god or something. Really, a glimpse of it wasn't there for a moment.
Yeah, it's quite a beastly character.
Yeah, all that stuff is great. I mean, it looks huge, even though they said it's not as big as Odyssey, but it looks huge. It looks like hours and hours and hours of stuff, of fun.
There's so much to do.
Yeah.
I mean, don't forget the rat battles and the fishing.
Oh, yeah, fishing, yeah. Now, when's that other game coming out, Cyberpunk? Is it the 17th as well?
Let me pull that up quickly. Because I think you're right.
So it must be. That's a launch title as well.
Coincidence.
That's a mad launch title, isn't it? Cyberpunk and Assassin's
Creed. 19th.
19th, okay. All right.
Yeah, 19th.
Wow.
So
we'll find out more, yeah. I mean, there's some huge games, isn't there? Three huge ones announced.
Mm.
Yeah, that's mad.
It's going to be the winter.
It's going to be nice Christmas.
It's dangerous.
So are you excited about Assassins before we move on?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think I really am. Yeah, and again, I think I'd want to play that on the new console. I think I have to play that on that one.
Absolutely, to get the best look.
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's go to the other big announcement, which was right at the end, and the president of Ubisoft came out and he said, oh, one more thing. We've got one more thing to show you. And it was something that got leaked last week, which is Far Cry 6. And then we didn't see any gameplay, even though I've looked at a few kind of images of gameplay this morning. But we saw a kind of very kind of cinematic, beautiful-looking trailer.
It's like a Netflix series.
Yeah. And who's the actor who's the lead villain? what's his name?
Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh, yes.
That's it.
From Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul fame.
The Mandalorian as well. He's the main villain there, Moff Gideon. Yeah.
And if you haven't seen a Spike Lee film, which is my favourite Spike, which is brilliant, called Do the Right Thing.
I love that.
It's a fantastic movie. And he's in that. He's one of the main characters in that, very young version of him there. He's fantastic. He's a fantastic actor, and he's brilliant in the trailer, wasn't he? He sort of like leads his son, gives him a hand grenade, and leads him out to the balcony. You see this his kind of domain. He's this dictator of this world, and it's all going to pot. Looks like a revolution. He's going to quell it, I think.
He needs to work on his parenting techniques.
Oh, yeah.
I think. before he starts winning the country.
I thought he was going to drop the grenade at the end of it into the crowd.
I think that's the cliffhanger.
Okay, right, fine.
Yeah.
What are we excited about this? New Far Cry?
Don't know, really. Not much too wrong yet.
No, there's not much
I've never played the other one, so... Oh, I'm out of the loop completely.
What about you, William?
Giancarlo looks like he's doing a great job. That being said, I never really got into Far Cry. When I first tried to get into it, I couldn't really play first-person shooters. I've always sort of had an issue with motion sickness with that, but I've only been able to recently get over. Like, I only got into Halo, and I've been trying for years.
Okay.
So, not exactly... But I think if I go back and play some of the ones that people really seem to like 5 and 3 and Blood Dragon, then maybe I'll be a bit more hyped. Okay. As well, there was no gameplay, but the story looks good. So
yeah. I have seen a sort of couple of images of gameplay this morning when I've kind of looked hard. Only a couple of things. And I think I reviewed the last one, 5 for us, for the Xbox Hub. And I think I've played all of them, yeah. I mean, I love the island ones are great, Far Cry 3, then the pool one, Far Cry 4, that was very good. The last one was really good, Amanda. I really enjoyed it. And there was another one, there was an extra one on top of that, was it New Dawn or something, that was in the same world a bit later on after the nuclear explosion. It's good. The problem with Matan, it's a lot of countryside. I think with this feeling of, from the look of that, I was thinking, I quite like the idea of having a mixture of cities, beach, countryside. I think that's what it missed. In the last one, you just had sort of in Montana, so you just had really kind of small towns or settlements or buildings, and it needs a change from that, I think. I'm trying to think of the Nepal one, if that had kind of little towns. It didn't, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they do to play with it a little bit more, I think. But it's Far Cry. It's good fun. I do like Far Cry. I think it needs a change, though.
Yeah.
And we got a date for that. 18th of Feb, 2021. So, not that far away. And it's the first game that's definitely got a date in 2021, I think, isn't it? That's a definite date.
Yeah, well, the first few... I think a lot of them are skewed to put things through 2021 because... I think it was Phil Spencer who said that the game's coming out this year, there's not going to be a lot of issues, but for next year, because of motion capture and because of orchestral scores and everything, that one's going to be a bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But I think because they've probably done a lot of this work already, you know, Giancarlo's a very busy man, so you have to work around his schedule. I think this is one of the ones that can be definitively dated. So
maybe that's why we've got Cyberpunk, Assassins, and Watch Dogs, and Halo, and all these games. Because the thing, well, there's not going to be much else in the next 6 months after that. We need time to finish it.
Get everyone ready.
Yeah, play these games for all the time. Let's have a brief kind of go through some of the other events on the main show. As time is going against us, we had the next sort of biggish one down, which we knew about, was Hyperscape. Which is the new kind of battle royale game from... Mm-hmm. We saw a sort of like a nice little trailer, didn't we, explaining the world. Can one of you explain to me what it is?
Sure.
Yeah, go on, William.
So basically, it's sort of a Ready Player One-esque take on the Battle Royale. It's, I think it's supposed to be virtual reality or something. The game isn't virtual reality, but the world is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And basically, you're playing as digitized avatars who are fighting to the death, well, to the virtual death, in one of those battle royales. So there's 99 or 100 players, something like that. And last one standing moves up the ranks, but there seems to be a real world conspiracy behind this. That so there seems to actually be a story for this one, which is surprising.
Yeah.
And the big differentiating factor for this one is the Twitch integration. So when people are watching streamers play, they can vote on what happens in the world. So I think it's something like you could get a windstorm in there, or you could get bombs dropping, or everyone gets an extra bit to their health or something.
Yeah.
So I think that's actually really interesting.
Yeah, I really like the idea. They said that gravity could change.
That was it.
And that's really good. I really like that. That's really clever.
And wasn't someone of the character just you could have a you'd be in a ball like a what's it called? One of those balls you Zuba ball? Things that people have in the ocean. They're in a sort of rubber ball.
Bounce around, can't you?
Yeah. That I saw that happen at one point. That was quite fun. It looks a lot of fun.
It's chaotic.
Yeah.
I saw some of the gameplay in the post show.
Oh, did you?
And it is intense. It's not like Players on No Battlegrounds, where you can run around, you know, have a cup of tea, and you might see a person. This is in your face, bang, bang, non-stop.
Really?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a huge map, was cool it? Now.
Good.
There's a lot of teleportation and some quite cool skills you can pick up. So it's definitely one for the younger, more skillful gamers, I think.
Like me?
Never.
So what I really liked about it as well, because I've seen a couple of Twitch streams of the beta they had, which is when the thing comes in, what's it called? Like in PUBG, it's like kind of like a blue force field. In Warzone, it's fire. And this one, when it comes in, the buildings just disappear because it's VR. Yeah. So if you're on a building, it's going to collapse with you in it. I think that's really nice. I think there's little bits. Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I'd give it a go for a bit. Are we a bit bored of Battle Royale games? Are we bored of them?
Just a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Everyone's trying it.
Yeah.
I used to play Fortnite a lot.
Right.
I played on the Switch, actually, but I just sort of fell off of Fortnite. The only one that I still play semi-regularly is the Forza Horizon 4 Eliminator.
Because
it's not like any other Battle Royale out there, but the typical Battle Royale shooter, I'm sort of off. That being said, I think there are enough interesting things they're doing here, and if what James said is correct, and it's a smaller map, and it's more action-oriented instead of waiting around for 40 minutes for something to happen, because you dropped in the wrong spot.
Yeah, that's how it felt when you're showing the gameplay.
Yeah, I think this one could be a lot more exciting and might actually get me to play and keep playing. So,
you know what I'd like to see in a Battle Royale? This is mad. Because I'm with James, I like PUBG. I like the slow pacedness, the tension of it. Like you might not see anyone for ages until right at the end. I really like that. And I quite like to have one again that you do a Battle Royale, you're in a huge map. And over 7 days, it gets smaller and smaller, so you have to sort of log in at certain times each day. And you might die in day one. But you might...
You have to stuff at, like, safe points every so often.
Yeah.
Something about a longer period of time.
Yeah, kind of a huge place, yeah. But it still gets smaller, yeah.
Something different. We can make it.
We will.
I mean, it's not that bad for us.
No, yeah.
There are talks right now that the new Forza might have a 24-hour race like they do in the 24 hours at Le Mans in real-time 24 hours. So, you know, maybe that's the next gen.
Yeah,
so that's point.
Games big, long, days. Yeah. Wow. And it's out now, Scrape, what it's called, is out on PC now, so no console.
Open beta.
Yeah, open beta. There's no console announcements yet, but I'm sure it will appear on there.
Especially this summer, I think.
Yeah, okay.
This summer. It could be. Could be. Anytime, yeah.
Let's go through, well, of course, the next one was, if people want a new Sam Fisher game, well, they've got it for you. He's appearing in a game, and it's called Elite Squad.
Yeah.
An Elite Squad's a game for mobile, isn't it? It's an iOS or Android game, I think. And it's coming out this summer.
Yeah.
And Elite Squad basically is a game that features all your favourites from the Tom Clancy universe.
And some bad guys.
And a bad guy. That bad guy from Ghost Recon, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I love him. He's a beast.
And that's, I don't know what it is. What is it? I don't know what it is. A shooter? Do you two know?
I think it's tower defense, maybe, like Goose Pop is. I don't quite know.
Right. Good. Well, if you like mobile games and you like your Tom Clancy, it's for you. I don't think I'll be playing it.
Yeah, I don't think I will either.
We also had a sort of Rainbow Six Siege, I've put here, filler.
Yeah.
Which is basically a video showing the last 5 years celebrating some people playing Rainbow Siege. And I like this, one of the announcements, one of the makers said, and we're going to go on for the next 10 years. It felt like a threat more than a...
10 years till you'll get a new Rainbow Six game. Yeah. Well, I'll admit, I had to chuckle when they said something like, it was made from a very small team. 25 developers, from my understanding, came up with the idea. But then the rest of it was done by Ubisoft Montreal, who has 3,500 employees, Ubisoft Barcelona, who's got 800 and everything. So it's like, okay, Grounded being made by 12 people at Obsidian is a small team.
Yeah.
You know, this is a small team proportional to Ubisoft, like $1 million is a small loan proportional to Trump. You know?
Yeah. But wasn't there meant to be another Rainbow Six Siege game coming? I thought there was a sequel, but maybe that was a rumor. Yeah,
obviously not.
Obviously not. The next 10
years. Say
that again, will you?
Rainbow Six Quarantine. They showed it off last year. It's either an expansion or a sequel.
Oh, okay, right.
But
do you know that it's like, it reminded me of that Rick and Morty episode in sort of like season two and. Rick's going, and we're going to go on for another season and more seasons.
Yes.
Not like that. Another 10 years. 10 years. Wow. And then the last two ones we saw, which was, there's a Might and Magic game, Era of Chaos. Is that right? I don't know anything about Might and Magic.
I think it's already out, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
And the fact was, they were saying you can get new rewards.
All right.
Because everyone's been downloading it, so...
And is it like a mobile game again?
Yeah,
it's a mobile game.
Okay.
They said something like, it's been an amazing 7 months, and I'm like, well, yeah, maybe really? For the game, but for the rest of the world...
Yeah. I don't, you know, we're out of touch there.
Yeah.
And the last one I've got on my list is Brawlhalla, which James mentioned earlier. What's Brawlhalla? I've never known of that at all.
Just a fighting game.
Okay. Yeah, it's a Smash Brothers clone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right.
It's coming to the iOS and Android.
On August the 6th. I know that. Yeah. Have you played Brawlhalla, you two?
No.
No?
No.
No, we're not excited about that. That's good. It's fine.
We've got lots of fighters in the game, so if you do play it, plenty of variety.
Yeah.
It's over 50.
I think the thing is, Brawlhalla is great if you don't have a Nintendo system, but I've got a Switch, so I might just play Smash, you know.
That's all the games in the main show. Did you expect to see something else from there? Like a game that you think, what's happened to that?
Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
Skull and Bones from Jane, that's a good call. There's nothing about that.
They've gone completely quiet on that one.
They did say, the main guy did say at the end, this is the first. It felt like there was going to be another Ubisoft Forward game. And maybe that's after the consoles have been announced. Maybe they're waiting on that.
They might have something at the Xbox show next week. They seem to be, you know, they had Phil on. They seem to like him.
Yes.
They seem to like Xbox. But no, there was a lot missing. Just off the top of my head, Skull and Bones, as James mentioned, Rainbow Six Quarantine,
yeah.
Beyond Good and Evil 2, which I really want to see. I think we didn't see much of that last year.
No.
They didn't even bring that to E3. I believe the Mario Rabbids team is working on a sequel.
Great.
For the Switch. We didn't see that.
Right.
I think I said Gods and Monsters.
No, yeah, that's the one I'm looking forward to. And that was meant to be in January this year, wasn't it? That was the original release date, January 22nd.
January or February.
Yeah.
And that just, I mean, there was a big leak of footage not that long ago, but they really haven't shown anything official on the game in a good while.
Yeah. Anything else we can think of? I mean, it's, you know, rumors as well of games in their franchise is a new Splinter Cell, which is everyone's been.
New Splinter Cell, new Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
I'm desperate for a new Rayman. I love Rayman. I think they really nailed it with Legends and then they just did nothing, which breaks my heart.
James, anything else that you're looking forward to that?
I thought they might do a new installment of The Crew.
Yeah.
But instead they just announced a load of updates coming.
Well, let's just talk about this pre-show. Let's go through really briefly about some of the pre-show stuff, which was there. And we had, like you said, we'll start with the Crew 2. I mean, that looked...
That was probably the most impressive announcement.
I mean, they were basically saying, we're going to go on for a long time, aren't they, with the Crew 2? They were like...
Another 10 years.
Yeah, it was a bit like that, though, wasn't it? It was sort of promising another 2 years of content. And and the summer in Hollywood... They had sort of like cars that were...
I hope you have cars,
Cars. They give you a free Beetle, 1967 Beetle, which is a beautiful car. But you also, you'll have an 80s section. There's a 70s special, wasn't there?
A neon. Neon battle with motorcycles. Yeah. Quite interesting.
So I've not played The Crew 2 ever. You've played it, haven't you, James?
Yeah, it's great fun.
Oh, yeah.
You can play it in co-op on the missions, so... Ah. It's quite enjoyable.
William, have you played The Crew 2?
I have not played The Crew 2. I played The Crew 1, and I thought it was okay, but...
Better than The Crew 1. The Crew 1 was hard to get into. The Crew 2
Crew was just sort of a loose Forza Horizon, but I've heard that Crew 2 was great, so I'll look into that.
Then we also had Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which they announced the AI players as teammates. So if you're playing single player, you can have AI teammates who would do the same as they can be fully customized and do your own, do big thing. But as James says, you said that's a bit late.
Why now? A year after the game's come out, having teammates should be a day one for those that haven't got friends to play with.
Yeah,
you know, it's not everyone wants to play online.
It's like when Bethesda pad themselves on the back for adding NPCs to Fallout 76. It's like, well, why weren't they there in the first place? You know. But,
Do you know that game hasn't had a good? I mean, when me and Neil went to the first, we went to a bar in London last year to watch the first trailer and gameplay of Breakpoint. And the videos didn't work, and the streams didn't work, and it was a good indication of how this whole game has set up, because it hasn't gone down very well, has it? And hasn't been successful. Buggy as well. Maybe people go back to it. Maybe they will. Trials Rising made me laugh a lot on that video. Those two, and they've got. If you like Trials Rising, they've got the longest track called the Giga Track. That's coming out for free on July the 16th. That made me laugh. Just a very funny bit between two people shouting at each other. But I'm not going to play Trials ever again. But that looked fun. And then we had a couple of indie games in there. We had Spiritfarer.
Yes. That's so good. So, so good.
It looks lovely, doesn't it? And it's by the people who did Jotan, developers.
Sundered.
Sundered as well. And that looks lovely. And that's coming to Xbox Game Pass, isn't it? That's what they said at the end.
Yeah, they showed off last year at the Xbox E3 event. It just looks so melancholy, but lively and charming. Just amazing.
Yeah, really, really lovely, isn't it? A cost management game about dying. That's what I've written down here. Maybe they said that, or that's not how I would describe them, but yeah.
I think they did say that, and I was like, that's not a great way to sell the game. It didn't sound enticing.
No.
It looked great.
It looked great, yeah. I think it'd be really nice. Game Pass as well. What can go wrong for us? Brilliant. And then we had another indie game called by Mencha, which is Curious Exhibition 2. And I reviewed the first Curious Exhibition recently, I think. And I really liked it. And it looks like a real step up. They really changed the design of it. And it's a great little game that you go in these random generated adventures. And you have to do some sim management stuff as well as kind of exploration. They're really great. It was a really good game. So that's good. That's coming out at some point, I didn't say. And then we had Just Dance 2, some new tracks. Then we had Surgeon Sim 2. Which looks like it's got four players co-op, and you can make bowling alleys, and there's a building thing. I didn't get this. It was mad. So they were sort of like, Surgeon Sim is basically you're doing an operation, aren't you? And it's like against the gravity's all over the place and the physics all over the place. And that's the funny bit. So I don't know why you'd be making a building management game as well.
Probably for a bit of downtime after you've sawn someone's head off. Putting it onto your arm.
Well, that's coming out in August. I don't know, probably for consoles as well. And that is probably about it. We had a lovely little expert, which I really liked, about The Division 2, which was about the developer, about people finding rubber ducks and the Easter eggs and the reason behind where these rubber ducks come from. So if you've got a couple of minutes, have a look at it. It's really nice, actually.
I can't believe we've never seen any. The amount of hours we put into Division 2.
Yeah.
And did they say there was teddy bears in it as well?
Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah. There's two rubber ducks guarding a penguin, which I liked. Soldiers. Yeah.
We need to find these.
We need to find these. We need to get back on it. Yeah, exactly. Do that.
I'm going on a duck hunt.
Right, gentlemen, that's nearly us. That's coming up to the end. That's everything. I've got a throwing back Mythical Quest. What am I going to talk about? But yeah, it was good. So what do you think, William? What do you think? A success? Enjoyable? What do you think? A letdown?
I think it was a very mixed bag. I love the fact that they showed off the indies. I think both Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs look great. That being said, I think like a lot of these events, they should have set expectations appropriately ahead of time. You know, the CEO, Yves Guillemot, at the end saying, oh, by the way, we've got another of these. That would have been probably useful to find out ahead of time. Because, you know, Watch Dogs, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, that's all great. But we knew they were coming. You know, they were Ubisoft's bread and butter. And I really want to get a deeper look at some of their more experimental titles, Gods and Monsters, Beyond Good and Evil 2, and maybe a couple surprises there.
Mm.
But on the whole, I think of all of these, it's shown the most gameplay of any of these quote-unquote gameplay events, so it wins by default there.
Yeah. No, good.
It was a decent base hit, not a home run, you know?
I think we're probably right when we said earlier about it'd be interesting to see if Ubisoft have got an announcement for the new consoles, if they've got for one of them, whether it's PlayStation or Xbox, and whether there's a new IP there, it's something we've seen before, it's going to be on launch or nearby launch. That might be why they're holding stuff back. I think that's probably a good call.
Yeah.
Because they're a massive developer, so one of those consoles, to grab one of them would be a good thing, wouldn't it? Maybe not. What do you think, James? What was your impressions of it?
I think Assassins was the star of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, Watch Dogs was better than expected. But the rest of it was just all right. So I think it did well overall.
Mm.
But it didn't blow me away.
Yeah.
I could have done without the mobile stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Right, okay, well, thank you, gentlemen. That's good. You can go about your day now. The start of the week. William can go back to bed. Where can we find you, William, if we need to get a hold of you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at TheOvidGame. You can find me here. And, yeah, that's about it.
Good. James?
I'll be on Twitter and Instagram at OKIDUKR.
Good. And you can get me at GB Briley on Twitter and also on Twitch. Thank you so much, gentlemen. And also please subscribe, like, comment. Tell us what you liked or what you didn't like or what you were expecting or what you weren't expecting, what you want to see next. We always like hearing people's comments. Leave it on the YouTube channel. And I will see you next week for the Xbox special on the 23rd. That's when we're next back. Thank you very much, and we'll see you later on. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the official podcast of XboxHub.com. You had found all the notes of this show at www.thexboxhub.com/podcast. You can also check out our social feeds on Instagram and Twitter at The Xbox Hub, and search The Xbox Hub on Facebook.